Let us pray. Lord our God, Father of all, you guard us under the shadow of your wings and search into the depths of our hearts. Remove the blindness that cannot know you, and relieve the fear that would hide us from your sight. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord was pleased to crush him with infirmity. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see the descendants in a long life. And the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, may servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. The word of the Lord.
As a ransom for many.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Jesus replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to invite any children who would wish to come on up front. We have a special section of heated tile right up here. Or at least I was right about the tile. Anybody else want to come up? I promise I won't call on you unless you raise your hand. On the other hand, if you're out there, I might call on you. Can you see God?
No,
we can see the things of God. Can we see heaven? Not yet. But yet we believe through faith that when we come here, God is here and heaven is present. We join the angels and saints in their worship of the everlasting God. So, when I come to church, I find it helpful to use my imagination that's informed by things that the Bible says to help me appreciate things I can't see. Because believe me, there's a lot going on here that we can't see. But it's real. And it's an astonishing blessing to be able to know that it is here and to enter in, as that first song that we sang says, to enter in. That's what we do. We enter into God's grace. We enter into His presence. We enter into the life of heaven. In faith, right now, right here. So, it's helpful for me to use my imagination. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible was our second reading from the book of Hebrews. Now, it talks about a throne. What comes to mind when we say the word throne? Use your imagination. When you think of a throne, what do you think about? A chair. A chair for a leader. What, particularly what kind of leader? A king or a queen? Okay. A chair, good, for a king or a queen. What else would you think about when you think about a throne? Pardon? Pardon? A chair with a tall back. I think so. Do you think it would be an ordinary chair? How would it be not ordinary? How would it be special? It'd be big. Okay. We're working on something here. We got a big chair with a high back where there's a king or a queen. What else? That's right. There could be jewels. Sparkly with, if it was made out of a metal, what might the metal be? Iron? No, what? Gold. All right. So we're looking at something that's impressive. Now, we know that there's a throne. We see this from other books in the Bible. There's a throne in heaven where God sits. Woo! And it's amazing. It's full of blazing lights and jewels, and all the angels and saints are around it. It's something very special. It says the hosts of heaven just fall down in worship before it. It's bright light. It's got jewels and gold, and on it sits the king. Okay, well, that could be a little scary, can it? You think so? I mean, who knows what somebody with that kind of power could do to us, especially do to us those all too frequent times when we do what we shouldn't be doing. Okay, so it talks about a throne. We come here in church and we approach a throne. Who's on that throne? Who is the most likely person to sit on a throne? A king or a queen? Who do you think is on the throne in heaven? God. Okay. Now, what do we think of when we think of God? What do we think of when we think of God? Pardon? Nice. Nice, yes. Heaven. Giving. The Holy Spirit. Father. Okay. I think, now, this is where some adults... See, adults have had a longer time to make the wrong choices and develop some of the wrong images. I think sometimes when we think of God and we think of the throne and we think of heaven, we think of judgment. And I get an amen. Do you think of judgment? No, we think of fear. We think of sins. We think of the trouble that we've done. We've thought of the times that we've not thought about that correctly. And we can turn our face from it. We can be afraid. That song we sang of entering in, we can be afraid to enter in if what it is we're entering into is heaven itself. God's very throne, one of glory where he reigns in majesty and power. Okay, but the book of Hebrews talks with a very special word about this throne. He calls it a throne of grace. What does grace mean? This is a little harder. It's a word we use all the time. It's one of our most common words. God's grace. We live by grace in faith. What does grace mean? Joyfulness, the little, not precisely. Although I think those who receive it can be joyful most of the time. I think we can receive God's grace when we're sad and not necessarily get real happy all of a sudden. What comes to mind when you think of the word grace? It's an important word. While the technical definition is unmerited favor, I'm going to say it's undeserved love. Who here all the time deserves God's love? We can hope for it. Parents, are your kids' hands up? You might want to inform them of some things they have forgotten. No, I actually think we don't always deserve God's love. When we yell at our parents, when we fight with our brothers and sisters, when we don't pay attention in school, when we've got those attitudes. Who's here heard somebody say to them, "You've got an attitude"? Is it a compliment? No, not usually. Okay. I can get an attitude too. And it's when I'm not thinking of God. I'm not always making the right choices. It's precisely when we've got an attitude, when we can realize that we're not worthy of God's love. And it can be a little intimidating. Approaching this throne where God himself dwells in glory and majesty. But this is a throne of grace. This is a throne of undeserved love. And there's not a person here for whom that should not be thrilling news. When we say enter in, and we're approaching the throne of grace. It is a throne not of judgment. Can be later. Jesus comes now to save. He will return to judge. But now it is a throne of grace. So we can approach it and find mercy and help in time of need. And it says the person who is on this throne, get this, has been tempted in every way like us. Jesus was tempted. If you get angry, he was tempted to get angry. If you're tempted to be disobedient or sharp with your mouth, he was tempted that way too. He didn't make bad choices. He didn't sin. But it says, we have one like us. That's an advantage. It's an advantage to help someone if you've gone through what they've gone through. It's not necessary, it's a help. I can help from experience and some knowledge. I could help a woman who's pregnant, but can I help her as one who has experienced pregnancy? Everybody say no. No, I can help. But someone else, if it's a difficult pregnancy, somebody who's gone through it can say, I know what that feels like. And this is how I resolved that. If we've got a problem, it'll be a help to go to somebody who's had the problem too. When I was in grade school, I got in all kinds of trouble, and I had this image in my head of some other people in the class. They never did anything wrong. It seemed like they weren't even tempted. I couldn't go to them. I would have thought they didn't know what was going on with me. And especially, again, adults, we can be like that. In the depths of our temptation, in the deepest pit of our failures, we can feel like, how is God ever going to understand? How does he know what this feels like? Aha. We approach the throne of grace, and we have a high priest who has experienced everything we have. That's what the scripture says. That's part of the mystery of his redemption. He's taken on our flesh. He's lived in our skin. He knows our thoughts. He's had them himself. And so this gives us confidence, the Bible says, confidence to approach this throne. This throne of mercy and grace. It's what we do in prayer. It's what we do especially in sacraments and in the Eucharist. If you had to ask Jesus for anything, what would you ask him for? This is what Peter and James and John do in the gospel. They came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask. How's that for a blank check? Hey, how do you think that would work with your parents? Mom, I want you to do whatever I ask. Had you ever tried that? I don't really suggest it. I'll tell you what the answer will be. Okay, if you could ask Jesus for anything, what would it be? Anybody want to be daring? What would you ask Jesus for? I might call on an adult, so I'd be thinking out there. James and John, they asked for something selfish. They said, we want, when you're in your throne, we want to be on your right and on your left. We might not understand that, but what they were asking was this. Jesus, like when you're ruler of the universe, we want to be in positions 2 and 3, right below you. When you're in your glory, right and left, Those had been the two most important places in the kingdom. So they were asking for positions of prestige and power. And Jesus didn't like that. He didn't like that request. And he says, come on! This is what followers, this is what people who don't follow me want. We can look around us and men and women in positions of power and influence, head of corporations. Sometimes people in public office, they can use their power for themselves to get their own way. He says, no, this is not to get your own way. I came among you as one who serves. Jesus, who's on that throne of grace, didn't come to get his own way. He came to save us. And for all of us, the most powerful prayers are prayers to serve. That's where we'll find help from God. That's where we'll find joy in our lives, meaning and purpose for which we hunger and thirst. So, when we come here, use your imagination. We're doing something important. There's more here than you can see. We're approaching a throne of grace, of undeserved love, where there is one reigning who is like us in all things but sin. So we can ask him for the help that we need. But that help should be to know him and to love him and to be able to serve him and others. God bless you.